Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the 2008 World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
In another hour of poker, I'm Paul Harris, along with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips, who last week you saw get eliminated from the main event of the World Series of Poker, which you and I knew happened months ago. But it finally happened again last week in that brutal beat you took to go out in 45th place. For people who didn't see it, recap what happened.
Just what I wanted to do, see it again on TV, but what the heck. No, down to 45 people. I have about 4 million in chips. We're getting close. Finally, in the back of my mind, I'm starting to think, is it possible I could make two final tables back-to-back? Well, it wasn't. I got the horrible hand of an ace-king suited. And another guy next to me had the horrible hand of an ace-king suited. Mm-hmm. And we both put it all in pre-flop. And I'm over there saying, just chop it now. Don't even turn over the cards.
Yeah.
Don't even want to see it.
Yep.
The whole bit like that. And, of course, three spades later, I'm eliminated. So, yeah.
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal way to go out. And it's because of that, and because I know that you were also knocked out of a tournament this weekend while you were holding ace-king. And, of course, there's the famous incident last fall in the November 9 where you had ace-king and Yvonne had ace-queen. I am banning you from playing ace-king for your stack ever again. I don't care if you're short-stacked or big-stacked. No more playing ace-king for your stack.
At the main event, when I got knocked out, literally, I'm walking out of the encircled area there to go over to do the interviews and that, and a guy comes running up waving at me, and it's, what the heck? He had a T-shirt, held it up to me, and then gave it to me. Front of the T-shirt says, Big Slick Sucks. This is 2 minutes after getting knocked out of the main event.
Perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that should be your new slogan.
It has not been very good to me.
Tonight on ESPN, they're going to cut it down from 27 to the November 9.
Correct.
And then, as I recall, last year with you and the other eight in your November 9, in that in-between week, the first Tuesday of November, it was like a one-hour special or two-hour special about all of you guys.
It was. They actually came to St. Louis and filmed and followed me around for a day and used segments of that in it. They followed the other guys around, kind of giving background so the people get to know the players a little more and where they came from and how they play maybe and the whole bit like that and what's happened to them for these 3 months.
I wonder if they went elk hunting with Darvin Moon.
I'm thinking probably not. First of all, I'm not sure they'd want to. Second of all, Darvin and a gun with media people around trying to follow him? Nah, not a pretty sight. So
that'll be next week's show, and then they'll play the final table on November 7th, a Saturday.
Correct.
Play down to two.
Yes.
And they're going to go. They're going to have a day off on Sunday.
That's my understanding.
Then they play heads up on Monday, November 9th.
Correct.
And then we all get to see the results of that on ESPN on November 10th.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, speaking of Darvin, we're, as far as we know, still trying to track him down. He's coming out of the woods today.
Yep.
And we're going to try to have him on next week's show.
Yeah. Darvin's a really good guy. I've talked to him a number of times in that. This is the way he wanted to prepare, and you've got to respect that. He wanted to go off by himself, told everybody way ahead of time, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go with some friends of mine. We're going to go up into the mountains. I'm going to turn my cell phone off, and I'm going to get, this is how I'm going to get ready.
Yep.
Hey, more power to him.
If it works, it works.
Exactly.
With 30% of the chips, you can't really argue with it now.
Yeah, no kidding.
on today's show, we're going to be talking with a poker pro by the name of Eric Baldwin. If you don't know the name, I think you're going to very soon. He is the leader for Player of the Year.
He has had an unbelievable year.
Over $1.2 million in just tournaments.
And that's not the impressive part. 14 final tables.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable.
14 final tables. He won a bracelet this summer.
Yep.
He final tabled another event at the series this
summer.
So Eric will join us in about 8 or 10 minutes here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 of the Fan KFNS. And by the way, if you've missed any of our shows or you're new to our show, now that we're on in the afternoons, Tuesdays at 2, if you missed any of the shows that we did in the evenings all year long, you can get those at thechipleader.com. That's Dennis's website, and you can also subscribe via iTunes. We've got a link for that right there on thechipleader.com. Now, you and I are both back from a casino just outside of Chicago in Hammond, Indiana. It's the Horseshoe Hammond. where there was a WSOP circuit event
yep.
going on. And what a great card room that is.
Absolutely. I'm not sure the number of tables in there. But
33. Wow.
Because not only was every table full, there were waiting lists. At one time, they said they had over 100 people on the listing for, I think it was like a 1-3 or something mm-hmm. like that game.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable, the people that are in there.
And upstairs in the ballroom is where they were
right.
doing the circuit event.
Yeah.
And they had an amazing number of people show up for one of the early events. I don't know
Correct.
If it was the first or second event, a 3:30 buy-in, where they had 1,412 people show
yeah.
up for
yeah.
a circuit event.
Yeah, pretty much unbelievable. They couldn't believe it. They had they were putting tables wherever they could just to get them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. They loved it, but, you know, my God. Well, for that matter, the main event, 248 people in the main event.
Right.
A $5,000 buy-in.
Yes.
That main first prize on it was, with seed included, over $300,000.
No, 291.
301, because that didn't include the $10,000
buy-in. You're right.
Like I said, with the buy-in,
oh, they get over $300,000. They get a buy-in to next year, next
correct,
summer's
correct.
Main event.
200,
I didn't.
Yeah, $291,000 in cash and a $10,000 ticket to buy in.
I didn't know that, but I did know this.
Yeah.
The guy who won it, Dan Livingston.
Yes.
And the guy he played heads up with at the end of it, Tom Floros. Do you know how they got their seats in this event?
I have no idea.
Complete free rolls. Because
oh.
the Horseshoe Hammond was doing this thing every day where they would randomly choose somebody playing in the cash games in the regular poker room.
Mm-hmm.
They'd choose a table and a seat number, and if you were in that seat, you automatically got a buy-in to the $5,000 event.
Yeah.
Both of these guys who came down to heads up at the end of the event free-rolled into it that way.
That was actually something new. If I understand it right, they were pulling like a dollar a hand rake or something whenever it got up to the buy-in. Then they'd randomly draw for whoever was sitting there. So they kept encouraging people to stay there. They did 60 seats this way. 60 times somebody got the magical
60
stand-up.
And that's 25% of a field of 240-something.
Yeah, and kudos to them. That's a great way to keep your room full, too.
Yeah.
Have the chance to get a $5,000 buy-in for nothing. I'll bet every 1-3 table up there was filled for the last 3 weeks.
Well, we know they were because there were 100 people on that list.
Yeah.
How did you do in that event? I mentioned at the opening here that I know you got knocked out with another ace-king.
Okay,
but
anyhow,
but how
never
deep
mind.
Did you go, and how was it for you?
No, actually, the tournament was very good. It was a very nice structure. The levels were an hour and 15 minutes, 75 minutes on it. They didn't skip any of the levels. See, a lot of times you go to these tournaments, and it looks good to start with, and then you find out that there is no 75-150. There is no
150-300. A lot of tournaments go 20. The blinds are 25-50, and then they go 50-100, and then 100-200, and then 200-400.
Right.
You got a couple extra levels in there to play.
Absolutely, and it made it really good play on that one. I made it fairly deep into it. We eliminated over half the players in that, but I don't think I hardly got above the starting chips at any given time.
What were starting chips?
What was the? God, I'm trying
for
to remember.
For 5,000 buy-in, was it triple chips?
No, it's more than that.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was very deep stacked. That's why I think it was 30,000 starting chips.
Wow.
Yeah, no. So you got to play.
That's
it
a
really
lot.
Was, you know.
That's a lot.
But you know, I had one particular hand that really hurt me. Let's see. Mid position, king-queen, made a raise, 3x'd it, came all around to the big blind. He just smooth-called it, and he was fairly short-stacked. He had about half of what I had on it. Flopped a king-king-5 out there on it.
Okay.
All righty. He checked. I had flopped top set. Decided, because you like to play him a different way, I thought I would bet out on this, because then if you do it, they don't put you in the king a lot of times. This was a solid player, but not a experienced player, shall we say,
okay.
on it. So I made a bet out there. I think I bet about 2x'd. So I bet about 60% of what was in the pot is what I ended up putting out there. He called.
Mm-hmm.
Going, okay.
Now, what do you put him on when he does that?
Again, I think he has two decent cards. He's assuming I'm making a continuation play and really have nothing but, you know, ace something.
Do you think
maybe
to
smaller
no
pair.
Way he's got a king?
No way he has a king there.
Okay.
I really don't. Because if it is, he gets excited, the whole bit like that. You would put him on the king there possibly. Anyhow, the turn comes. He checks. And again, here I am in my trapping mode, the St. Louis famous whatever trapping mode. You
yes.
know what it is.
Yeah.
I checked.
The turn was a blank?
Turn was a total blank.
Okay.
On it. So at this stage then, if I was in his position, I would not put me on the king. All right?
Because you checked behind.
Correct.
Okay.
On that. All righty. River card comes out there. He checks again. Well, now I know that he's got smaller pair probably, something in there that he was able to call me with.
Tens, nines.
Yeah,
jacks
somewhere
maybe.
In that.
Yeah.
Jacks probably not because he's short stack. He probably would have pushed back with jacks preflop
okay.
on it. There's no way he has like aces because he would have done the same thing or something on that, you wouldn't think. So not too worried about it. I'm trying to figure out how much of a value bet I can bet out there on it. Put out my value bet. He goes in the tank for a minute, shoves all in.
Uh-huh.
Now, at this stage, probably with what's in the pot and what he's put in there, you know, I'd probably got 3-1 to call him. It's pretty much a no-brainer to go ahead and call him. But, again, I took about 2 minutes because somehow or other this really, really felt bad now.
You're thinking to yourself, he flopped a set of fives. He flopped the full.
He did something that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I cry call him and put the chips in. He did. He turned over 2 fives.
Yeah.
It was just the perfect flop for him. So I doubled him up. I'm down to around 15,000, 18,000. Played for a little while longer. Got in a race. Lost it. I'm gone.
But in a hand like that, you're never getting away from that.
That's it. If anybody has some way to tell me how to get away from that.
You're not.
You know, I flopped top set with a queen kicker. Against the guy that had half the chips I did.
Yep.
And I'm in position behind him. And, I mean, I don't know.
It's all going in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you do on the turn.
Probably
I mean,
not.
The fact that you checked on the turn, if you bet the turn, even if you put him all in on the turn, he's happily calling you. If you don't and he calls, he's still.
Yeah. I mean, he just doesn't have enough chips to push me out of the pot.
Right.
Again, with top set and that. And the fact that he didn't raise me preflop, I can't put him on a king.
Right.
Or at least not a king that's going to beat mine.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to figure some way I could have got away from that.
The only thing you're really worried about there is ace-king, and you know what? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
If he has ace-king or if he's got fives, it's the same thing. All the money's going in.
Yeah, true.
Doesn't really matter.
And again, ace-king, and especially the way they aggressively played ace-king up there, I think he would have re-raised me preflop and would have given me an idea of where I was at.
Now, if that's much further on in the tournament and you're both very deep stacked,
oh well,
all the money's not going in.
Correct.
And are you playing it differently, do you think?
I'll play small ball then on it when he smooth calls me or something, if he does. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at this stage, with the chip counts, the fact he just didn't have enough to push me out of it, I'm trying to figure some way to, in the back of my mind, that I could avoid this again. Nah, my chips are going in, I
absolutely
think.
100% that money is going in there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be joined by poker pro Eric Baldwin, who's actually stepping away from the main event at Caesars to join us on the show today. So we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes here at the Lumiere Place Final Table. Remember, if you've got email questions for us, DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com is the address. And this portion of the show is brought to you by PokerStars, where you can play against pros just like Dennis. That's your cue to talk about PokerStars.
Oh, excuse me, guys. Getting a little preoccupied here. Didn't even realize that. PokerStars, guys, that is the site that I play all the time. If you want to play with me, you go to PokerStars. It is the largest online poker room in the world. It has massive action at all the different stakes and all the different skill levels. It is the place to go for any kind of a tournament with the world's largest guarantees and an impressive 24/7 schedule and just flat out excellent, excellent software. The other thing about this is, we're always trying to tweak it. We're always trying to make this better. When I was up there at the tournament in Hannum, I would sit around the table and say, guys, you know, I play on PokerStars a lot. If you think of something you can do to improve this, please let me know.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to pass this on to the listeners and everything right now. DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. That is my email. Send me anything if you have some way to improve it. To give you an idea, one of the responses I got from it I thought was an excellent one that I'm going to pass on to PokerStars. When you get into a major tournament, you get down to the final table, why don't you refresh the time clock? Maybe earlier in it you got disconnected. Maybe you had a problem with it or whatever and you depleted it. You know, you're not going to waste much time. We get to a final table. You've got 9 people around there. Refresh everybody's time clock. Let's go.
Yeah, maybe you had a tough decision 3 or 4 hours into an 8 or 9 hour tournament.
Or a 10 or 12 hour tournament
on
that. Why not? I said, absolutely, it's a great idea. Everybody at the table said, heck yes, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
now, when you say absolutely,
like
you don't mean it's absolutely going to be changed.
Oh, gosh, no.
Absolutely, I will pass that along to PokerStars.
Yes. Yeah, and I would be more than happy to do that. So, guys, it's DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. You come up with an idea, you come up with something, a suggestion of some sort, pass it on. If it's a good enough one or it's maybe one that we have some questions about, maybe we'll bring it up on air and let everybody talk about it. So please do it. DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com.
Happy to have PokerStars as a sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table. We're back right after this.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Tuesday is Poker Day on 590 The Fan KFNS. So here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris, live from downtown St. Louis at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Happy to welcome to the Lumiere Place Final Table, a guy who knows a lot about final tables because he's made 14 of them this year alone, earning $1.2 million in tournament cashes. He also got himself a final table in the series this summer in the 10,000 pot limit hold'em event. He came in third there, and he got himself a bracelet in a $1,500 event at the World Series of Poker, plus a Venetian Deep Stack main event title earlier this year as well. Eric Baldwin joins us. You may know him from his online name, Base Baldy. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. To be honest, I'm surprised you let a Chicago Cubs fan on your show.
The minor league can always come forward. No problem.
How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
We're doing great, and we appreciate the fact that you're stepping away from the main event of the Caesars Classic for a few minutes to join us here, because we know you've been tearing that thing up. You made a final table this weekend. You won another event there last week. You're just on fire. What a year!
Yeah, it's been quite the year. I'm really trying to just look forward and at the present moment and not really reflect back on it until the year is over.
Well, you have to be playing a massive amount of poker. I mean, are you at a different event basically every year or every week this year?
I've always told my friends and family that I thought it would be fun to go after the Card Player of the Year title. And so I wasn't playing quite as much early in the year, but then after I had a big World Series, I saw I was in the top three for the Player of the Year race and decided to dedicate the rest of the year to chasing after that title.
Well, you're being rather successful at it. Oh, my gosh.
Are you chasing them all around the country, or are you mostly just playing the ones in Vegas?
Whenever there's something in Vegas, I like to be here. It helps with the travel load, and I live with my girlfriend out here, and it's great to be home with her. When there's nothing in Vegas, I've been traveling. Recently went to Barcelona for a European Poker Tour event, Poker Stars sponsored.
Yep.
And came back, went to a series at the Borgata in Atlantic City, and then from there went to Los Angeles, and a week or so ago just got back from a trip to Aruba. So been doing a fair amount of traveling, and it's nice to be back in Vegas, have some series going on in Vegas.
Now, I'm curious, since you're up for Player of the Year, and that's your goal now, to be Player of the Year, that's obviously affected the number of tournaments you're entering. Does it affect the way you play in a tournament? For instance, if you're on the bubble or you maybe have already cashed or you're on your way to possibly making a final table, does that affect the way you're actually playing in the tournament because you're thinking to yourself, I need the points, I need the points, I don't need the money, I need the points?
I've actually been careful to not let it affect me, and the reason is there's still a ton of tournaments left in the year, and there's amazing players chasing me right now. So I know I'm going to have to put up another big number or two. So it's not – I think it would be a disadvantage of me to just try and pick up a few points, like minimum points. I'm going to need to put up some numbers. So I'm still playing for the wins, and hopefully it works out.
I think that's a good attitude because there's a mess of them. Tommy Vitas just won the one over at the Bellagio, and I think he was like in 12th or 14th in the ranking before, and that's going to catapult him up there a ways. So, yeah, you've got some competition
there's a couple big events left that any number of people, if they win them, they're going to pass me. So I just got to keep at it.
Right. Another question for you. Are you trying to expand your game? Are you most everything I've seen on here has been no limit or maybe limit Texas Hold'em. Are you going to start getting involved in some PLO or some other games like that?
Yeah, absolutely. The rest of 09, I'm going to focus on the No Limit Hold'em tournaments because that's my bread and butter, and that's where the biggest fields and the most points are.
Yep.
But in 2010, I think I'm going to start trying to learn some mixed games and definitely some Pot Limit Omaha. I've got friends that are really good at those, and I'm looking forward to learning from them and switching it up, you know, trying to keep things fresh and not get burnt out.
Yeah, beware of some of them. Like that Deuce of Seven triple draw is a sick game. I love playing that every now and then, but it is just a sick game at times. But anyhow.
Okay. We're talking with poker pro Eric Baldwin here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and on thechipleader.com. I mentioned the .com because I know you're very big into social media. I know you're on Twitter, as I am and as Dennis is. And I was looking at some of your tweets the other day, and I got to ask you about a picture that you posted there. Who was the guy in the Wonder Woman costume at one of your tables?
Oh, that was bizarre. I registered late for that tournament and sat down, and there was a guy dressed as Wonder Woman, and I didn't know if he was serious or what was going on, so I just kind of let it go. And then his wife came over. She was in a Superman costume. I guess they were just trying out their Halloween costumes a week early, but it was
no,
quite
you
the
hope
sight.
They were trying their Halloween costumes, and this was not normal attire. You're hoping that's what they were doing.
You know, if you see somebody dressed like that in like the 2 weeks before Halloween or even at the main event, you can chalk it up to, okay, I understand that. You see that in February, you really got to start wondering, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah, there must have been 10 people that asked him if he lost a bet.
Yeah, that would be the other way.
There you go.
Somebody made a bad prop bet. Absolutely.
Hey, I'm just checking this. You were born in Illinois. We have another Midwesterner that's climbing the ranks here in the poker. This is, I mean, everybody from Barry. It's just getting unreal, the number of Midwestern people that are starting to make their mark in the poker world. Peoria, Illinois, huh? I was born in Quincy.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I was born in Peoria, moved near Madison, Wisconsin when I was pretty young, but definitely still visit family in Illinois. I went to college at Bradley for a year and a half, actually.
Sure. All righty. Absolutely. Beaver. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You grew up in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin?
Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, home of the Golden Beavers.
Oh, my. All right. Beaver Dam. Just to let you know what a small world this is, number one, my sister has a farm about 30 miles south of Green Bay over there by Manitowoc and Valdez, so it's not very far from Beaver Dam. What, maybe an hour and a half from you or something like that?
Yeah, not far at all. Green Bay is about a two-hour drive.
Yeah, and it's less than that because they're in between the two of you. And the guy I went to college with is a veterinarian at Beaver Dam named Eric Stevenson.
Yep.
All righty.
There.
Wow. Yeah, you probably stood in line with him at the Aldi's or something like that sometime growing up. This is a small world, guys.
Hey, Eric, I know you're friends with some other young pros like Shannon Shore and Justin Young, and I know that in our world, you know, we often will sit down after a tournament or after a cash game and go over hands that we played, his strategy. In fact, just earlier in the show, Dennis was talking about a hand he played up in Hammond this weekend in the circuit event there, and we were debating, you know, did he play it right? Was there anything he could have done differently? Has that become a big part of your game, having a peer group that you can do that with?
It's been 100% helpful. Everyone has slightly different styles, and so when you can throw the same hand around against people that think a little bit differently, you just end up learning so much. Even if you don't incorporate how they would have played the hand into how you play the hand, you at least begin to understand how different types of people think, and then it helps you play against people with that similar style. I owe just a tremendous amount of my success to my friends.
That is so astute. I'm telling you what. Are you sure you're not at least 40 or something? That was excellent, flat out, because that's some of the things I've picked up in the last year. When you sit around a table afterwards and you're talking with these guys who, again, really, really get in-depth on some of these hands. It's amazing how it learns.
You know what? Let's do one right here.
All righty.
You emailed me, Eric, that you had a hand that you played, I don't know if it was this weekend or just recently, against a guy named Tristan Wade. Do you know the hand I'm talking about? Do you want to talk about it here a little bit?
Yeah, it was really a turning point hand for me in the Aruba tournament that I recently took fourth in.
Okay, go. You want me to lay it out for us?
You want me to just go with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It was on day three of 5K in Aruba, and I just got moved tables, and I got moved to a table with a bunch of people I didn't know, and then Phil Hellmuth, who was on a short stack, and this kid Tristan Wade. Me and Tristan both had big stacks, and I knew from playing with him online and in previous live tournaments that he's a very, very aggressive player. So at this point, before I even look at any cards, I'm just planning my strategy against him. A lot of super aggressive players, when they're up against another big stack, will try and put a lot of pressure on that other big stack, thinking that, well, they have a big stack, they're going to want to avoid a big confrontation with another big stack. So that was my plan coming in. And then this hand came up. Tristan opened the cutoff or the hijack, and it folded to me in the big blind, and I had two aces. I re-raised him. We were super deep stacked, so I didn't want to give him a chance to see a cheap flop and bust me and go broke with one pair. So I re-raise him. He thinks for a little bit and re-raises. So he four-bets me. And at this point, I look at my stack, and if I call, how much is going to be in the pot? And there was going to be enough in the pot where I wasn't worried about giving him too big of implied odds to suck out on me. So I elected to just call and let him, not blow him off a hand, and let him continue to bet. Okay, so I just call.
All right, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you there for just a second,
yeah,
Eric.
Go ahead.
I'm curious. After you three bet him, and it comes back to him, and he four bets you in late position. Now you're out of position against him, and yeah, you've got aces. But what do you make out his range to be?
Honestly, I think he shows up with any two cards here quite a bit. Like I said, my initial read on him was he was going to try and put max pressure on me. So I really couldn't narrow his range that much. I just, from playing with him online, I know he's capable of doing this with any two cards. Had he been a tighter player, actually, I may have stuck in another re-raise thinking he's got to have a monster hand like Kings here. Let's just go ahead and get it in and not flop him, not have a scary flop that he gets away from.
Okay, so you just call, and what's the flop?
The flop was Queen-Jack-3 with two spades, and I did not have the ace of spades. I checked to him, letting him hopefully continue the betting, and he thought for a bit and checked behind. I thought this was fishy because I figured if he had an overpair or had flopped a set of Queens-Jacks or even threes, he would have went ahead and bet. The reason I think he would have bet is because I had a perfect stack to check and then check raise all in. It's a pretty draw-heavy board, so if he has a monster hand like this, I think he's going to go ahead and bet, let me put the re-raise in and be happy to call ahead. If he has a monster, he doesn't want a super scary turn card like another spade to slow me down and keep me from putting chips in the pot.
Yep.
Okay, so I check, he checks behind. I think it's a little fishy. I kind of take him off a monster. The turn card is a three of spades, so it pairs the board and puts a third spade out there. I check again, and this time Tristan bets three quarters, four-fifths the size of the pot, and it's back on me. Obviously not the safest turn card. You could have a random three or turn to flush, or he possibly could have a boat or quads. But like I said, I took him off of that on the flop. At this point, the way I've played my hand, I've played it so weak post-flop, I can't fold two aces here. I could re-raise, but I don't feel like I'm getting called by any hands that I have beat. So I just call again, basically hoping a brick hits the river, and then I can check and pick off a bluff.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there again, Eric, because I want to get Dennis's insight into this as we're going through the hand. We're up to the turn now. Queen, Jack, 3-3, two spades on the board. How do you like the way Eric's played it, and what do you put Tristan on?
Well,
the turn was a third spade.
Right. So now there's three spades. There's a queen jack out there, which are possible cards he could have started out with. There's a lot of danger cards out there now, and it is a draw-heavy board like crazy on it. You do have a good analysis at the end. You played it so weak post-flop that you have to be very careful now, but he's not going to put you on the aces. That's a nice little position you're in on it. I don't know that I would have, frankly, against the deep stack right there, and there's still a lot of people in the tournament, I don't think I would have played it the same way pre-flop. I probably would have come back over and just taken it down then because I didn't want to get into a monster hand with him. And if he turned out he did have queens, races, and calls it all in, well, then I'm rolling the dice, but I got the aces pre-flop. If I lose, I lose on
that. You mean if he has queens or jacks?
Queens or jacks, sorry.
Yeah.
So, again, different styles. I love the way you do it in your analysis. Your analysis is right on. Would I have played it the same way? I don't think so. But I definitely understand the way you're going here, and I think you're exactly right on your perception he's going to have of you going into it after the three of spades comes up on the turn. So I want to hear the rest of it.
Okay.
I disagree with you, but I like your analysis. Huh? Go ahead, Eric.
I'm sorry. You guys still there?
Yeah, right here. Go ahead.
Okay. I thought about re-raising in pre-flop, but we were big stacks, and it was early in day three, so we were gonna be battling all day. And I figured if my game plan against him is to let him bluff off to me, what a better spot than to do it with two aces. So that was kind of the deciding factor there.
Again, I have no problem with that.
Okay. Back to the hand, I call on the turn. And the river is the beautiful nine of spades. So now final board reads queen, jack, 3-3-9 with four spades. And I have aces with no spade. My options here are basically to check fold or to make some kind of a blocking bet just to try and slow him down and hope he doesn't re-raise me, or to check hoping he bluffs and then call him. I elected to check and watch him pretty intently and see how he acted and see if I could pick anything up on the river. He ended up betting 2/3 to 3/4 pot on the river, and then I had a lot of thinking to do, and it was a really tough spot.
Yes.
I started talking to him. Tristan's the kind of guy that is not going to just go into a shell and not give you anything. So I started talking to him, knowing that he would do some things that I could hopefully pick something up on. I told him I was leaning towards calling just to see how he reacted to that, see if he did anything to try and change my decision. And that's what really helped me out, because he started doing things that were like acting super, super confident. So he was trying to act overly confident, as in he was okay with me calling, and that ended up being the deciding factor in me calling. And he had the ace-8 offsuit with no spade, and I picked up a monster pot, became one of the chip leaders, and had a bunch of momentum going towards the final table.
Wow.
Nice call.
I can tell you, 100% of the time when I play that hand, the guy only has a pair of eights, but one of them is a spade.
Yeah.
But still, that's a great hand. Afterwards, when you looked back on it, did you think to yourself, wow, I played that perfectly, or did you think I could have gotten the rest of his chips?
No, he had absolute air, so I think I got maximum value and then some out of that hand. There was no way, unless he bluffs bigger on the river, like if he bluffs all in and I somehow managed to find a call, I could have gotten more, But no, I think I got pretty much all I could there.
Oh, yeah, I almost guarantee you that you pretty much got the maximum about it. That's almost like a St. Louis trap here. So, no, excellent. And I see now that your college degree is in psychology. That fits.
I graduated with a major in psychology and a minor in math, so those have translated pretty well into the poker world.
Yeah, those are two good skills for this game, absolutely. Eric, we know you got to get back to your tournament. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Good luck in the Player of the Year race. We'll keep an eye on you, and we hope to have you back at the Lumiere Place Final Table sometime in the future. And maybe if you're still hitting the tournament circuit next year, you'll even come to St. Louis in April for the circuit event then.
Maybe I'll see you at the Deep Stacks here in, at the end of next week over at the Venetian or something.
Sounds good. I'll be there.
All righty. Look me up.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Eric. Poker Pro Eric Baldwin, online as Base Baldy. That's the name he uses when he plays online and on Twitter as well. Joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. This portion of the show brought to you by One Time Apparel, the clothing for poker players just like you. Put together by a poker player by the name of Kevin Steffen from right here in St. Louis, who said, you know what, poker rooms are too cold. I need more sweatshirts. And in the summertime when I leave the poker room, I need more T-shirts to tell the world I'm a poker player. And I want them to have a slogan that all poker players will recognize. And so all of them say, One Time. That's where One Time Apparel comes from. You can go to the website, onetimeapparel.com, see all of the things he's got there. He's got 100% cotton sports shirts in 7 different colors. He's got an organic T-shirt that comes, of course, in green and 8 other colors. He's got all sorts of different designs. He's got hats. He's got jerseys. He's got hoodies. He's got stuff for men and for women. Go to that website, onetimeapparel.com, charge it to your credit card, use PayPal, and wear this clothing just like poker pros are. Earlier this summer, we saw David Devilfish Ulliott wearing a one-time T-shirt in the ESPN coverage of the main event. So once again, the website is onetimeapparel.com. That's the site to visit for your poker clothing. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table. I am Paul Harris with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips. We're live from the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis. We just both got back from the World Series of Poker Circuit event in Hammond, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. And I want to mention something that I saw there, which I've actually seen quite a bit of lately, and maybe you have as well. And this is more in cash games than tournaments. So I ran into it last week because that was all I was playing. I was sitting at a table, and there was a young guy to my left, and he was involved in a lot of hands. And in one of these hands, he took a bad beat from a guy at the other end of the table. The guy at the other end of the table made a bad play and got lucky.
Yep.
And caught cards on him.
Yep.
Happens to everybody.
That's poker, I'm telling you.
But this young guy who was next to me started berating the guy who had made the bad play. Just talking him down. Now, the guy at the other end didn't say a word. He just stacked up the chips quietly. But you could see that these things that he was saying were hurting him.
Yeah.
And the young guy next to me had a friend who was sitting a couple seats away, and he was talking to him, and they were going back and forth about how horrible this guy was and how could he make a play like that, and I hope this guy sits at every table I'm at because he's horrible. And I mean, just over and over and over again. And after about 3 minutes, I turned to the young guy, and I said, you know, this is none of my business. And I said it very quietly. I said, you know, this is none of my business, but I'm just curious. Are you playing poker for a living? And he said, yeah, I am, almost like he was going to take me on now. And I said, well, again, this is none of my business, but if you're going to play poker for a living, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop going after the people who make bad plays against you. Because in the long run, you want people to continue making bad plays against you. They're not going to get lucky every time. And if you play well and they play badly, you will end up with the money. And I could see the light bulb going off over this kid's head. Like no one had ever said this to him.
Oh, my God.
That he hadn't considered this before. That berating and yelling at somebody at the table was a good idea to him. Mm-hmm. And I say it's not the first time I see it. Just a couple of months ago at the Venetian, I ran into the exact same scenario with a kid who got beaten by a drunken Englishman with a lot of chips in front of him, who was playing pretty much every hand. And again, I said to that kid, too, what are you doing?
Don't. No, see, that's just wrong on so many levels. You're right. You're not there to educate the other players.
No lessons, I told them.
Exactly.
No lessons.
That's just so horrible. You know, the rest of the table, you were probably sitting over there going, please don't do this.
Don't make this guy leave.
Yeah. You know, you want him to stay at the table. You want it to keep it friendly. There are other people at the table. If you offend them, they may be leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just so many different ways this will come back and bite you. That's just horrible. I see it all the time. Usually I ignore it like you do. But there are some times when you just want to take the guy outside and say, hey, listen, let me give you a 30-second thing that could make you a lot of money.
Yeah. Now, do you run into that in tournaments?
You do. You do. But normally it's in the lower levels, and normally the guy doing the berating is the worst player.
This portion of the Lumiere Plays Final Table is brought to you by Reactor Watches.
And I have got some news on the Reactor Watch again. This is just unbelievable. You guys know it's the one that I watch, the one that I love to have all the time. And I told you about the one that was in Iraq and survived the two IEDs and the suicide bomb attack and everything.
Yeah, very cool.
How they're just fantastic with it. Well, the guys at Reactor had a little bit of a deal. They said, well, you know, under normal conditions, you know, whether we like it or not, that's not going to happen to a watch in the U.S. They're not going to run into these things or anything like that.
Very few IEDs
in our
normal everyday life.
Right? So they decided they'd do what most people do with their watches. So this is what they did. They took a watch. They dropped it from a bridge 35 feet in the air onto a concrete slab. Then they took it and they threw it against a brick wall. Then they ran over it with a $300,000 supercar. And then they hit it 8 times with a hammer. And they finally cracked the crystal.
And the hammer finally cracked the crystal. Yeah. But if I know Reactor, they replaced the crystal.
For free of charge. That's Reactor watch. Unbelievable. The durability of this watch is just second to none. I don't care whether it's a Swiss one, it's a what. They will match it up with any of them. This is the particular one, was the Triton one. Tried and true. This watch is unbelievable. You got to go to Reactor Watches, guys. ReactorWatch.com. Check it out. It's the one I wear, the one I will always wear. Reactor Watches, they're just unreal.
We're happy to have them as a sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table. As I mentioned, we're in the poker room at the Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis. A quick reminder about some upcoming promotions. They've got the red, white, and blue car giveaway. It'll be on Wednesday, November 11th. You can come down and enter anytime between now and Veterans Day. Over $25,000 in cash and prizes. And you can win a red car or a white car or a blue car. 10 winners drawn every hour from 6 to 10 p.m. on the night of November 11th. You can be a part of that. And you can also come see Travis Tritt, who's going to be doing an acoustic show in the Lumiere Theater on November 13th. There are tickets still available for that. And they've also got the Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Tour. And we've got one of the Elvises here today, Bill Cherry from Collinsville, Illinois. Hey, Bill, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Good, good.
Great.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
2009 Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist winner.
Right, right. Wow, isn't that something?
How many Elvises did you compete against in that?
There was 20 guys in the competition in Memphis, but you got to remember, for each man there in Memphis, there was probably 20 to 24 underneath of him.
Uh-huh.
So it was a competition of the best of the best.
So it's like 400 or 500 Elvises.
Right, right.
And you came out to be the ultimate Elvis.
I came out on top, the ultimate Elvis.
Now, when you're Elvis on stage, you're obviously young Elvis.
No. Actually, I do the 70s Elvis, you know, later on in his career. You know.
Is that right?
Thank you very much for that compliment.
Do I know how to suck up to a guest?
Well done. I'm telling you what, though, there's a lot of endorsement. You guys are endorsed by Elvis Presley Enterprises and Graceland?
Right, right. This is the first Ultimate Elvis Tour, and it kicked off right here in Lumiere Place in St. Louis, and which is actually, I'm local, so, you know, it's like my hometown.
Yeah.
So everything just kind of fell into place. So we're here with Legends and the Ultimate Elvis Tour, so. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's really neat.
All right. The shows are going on now through November 8th, 7 shows a week, Wednesday through Sunday at 7 o'clock, plus Saturday and Sunday matinees at 1 o'clock. Tickets are just $15, and they're available through Ticketmaster or at ETC, which is the gift shop here.
Right.
And it's going on in the Lumiere Theater. So there's an Elvis doing 50 stuff, there's an Elvis doing 60 stuff, and then you come in and do 70 stuff. Is that right?
Right. That's correct. There's three of us, and what we kind of do is span the career of Elvis musically, you know.
Okay.
Like a musical celebration. So you get to see three different performers, and so it's good variety, and you know, if you don't do good out here, you know, with your gambling, why, come on upstairs and watch us. And surely win, you know.
Yeah, that's a sure win for it, absolutely.
I like that. All right, Bill Cherry, the ultimate Elvis tribute artist winner from Collinsville, Illinois. Come down and see him.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks for coming by. All right, let's get back to one quick thing I want to talk about, poker-related, and that was the Festa El Lago at Bellagio,
yes,
which just finished up. And a friend of yours won this thing, didn't he?
I just got a text on it last night. Tommy Vitas, who's had an unbelievable run in the last few months. In fact, he finished 19th in the main event. He was still in the main event when I got knocked out. He'll still be on TV tonight.
Uh-huh.
In fact, tonight they'll be showing him getting knocked out. And it's $1.2 million, I think he won out there at the Bellagio.
Very nice.
On top of everything else.
But here's what I want to ask you about. Instead of doing multiple first days for this Festa El Lago, they did registration through the first eight levels.
Yeah, I know.
So you could skip day one, come in on day two. You still would have been blinded off a little bit from your stack as you go along. But you still could have gotten in skipping an entire day with 75 big blinds. What do you think of that?
Actually, I didn't like it at all, and a number of the people that did come in on the second day ended up not liking it at all. Phil Hellmuth came in late and didn't do well.
Well, Phil always comes in late.
Howard Lederer came in late and didn't do well. One of the pros came in late and lasted three hands.
Really?
Yeah. All in on the third hand and out.
So yow.
He paid his money, sat down for three hands. What would that be, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever? You know, figure that out per minute, how much that cost him.
Yeah.
You know, that per hour rate was pretty good.
But so you don't like having people come in late?
It's just ridiculous. Come on, guys. Now, coming in a little late, I can see, you know, our late registration, something that way.
Yeah.
But with that many hands, with that many people grinding it out, for you to walk in there and if somebody would sit at my table and then get lucky and double up a couple of times real quick, I would not be a happy camper. I've sat 8 hours on this darn thing. They come in 5 minutes, and all of a sudden they're getting it. No. I just don't like it.
All right. One last quick poker item here, which is congratulations to Maria Ho and Tiffany Michelle, who are still in the amazing race. There are now six teams left. They came in second in Dubai, and they go on to the Netherlands on the show that will air this Sunday. This portion of our show is brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance. This is the group that fights for poker players like you and for me, to provide us with a secure, safe, and regulated place to play. There is still growing public support for our game, but still lots of problems in Congress and state houses and courthouses across this country. They need your support if you're a poker player, online or offline, or just a home game player, a recreational player, whoever you are. You should join the Poker Players Alliance. For details, go to the website, thePPA.org. For just $20, you can become a member and join us in fighting for the game that we all love. Once again, the website is thePPA.org. That's all the time we have for today. We're back next Tuesday at 2 with a World Series of Poker final table main event preview. The website is thechipleader.com. For Dennis Phillips, I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for listening.